15 months ago, the Virginia Funds for Excellence program awarded nearly $400,000 to a state university in Virginia to develop a general education program unlike that at any other university. The grant was one of the largest awarded for a single project. The university was George Mason, and the revolutionary new program begins this fall. Called the Plan for Alternative General Education, or PAGE, the program is a total reconstruction of the traditional freshman and sophomore survey courses. For example, there is no Composition 101. Instead, students are taught basic writing skills in every course, as well as how to write a computer program and how to apply computer technology to societal problem solving. The PAGE program is very likely to change the course of education, but what benefits does it offer to the student? Welcome to Frankly Speaking. This is Joan Ziemba for George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. To discuss the impact of the PAGE program on the students who participate, we have Dr. Jan Cohen, chairman of the PAGE program, chairman of the English department at George Mason, and chairman of the original committee which drafted the grant-winning proposal. Dr. Fred Siff, chairman of Decision Sciences and member of the proposal committee, and Bill Langford, physics professor and director of the PAGE program. Jan, the information on the program is overwhelming in the incorporation of all the different elements. Does the new PAGE program present the same typical education that your traditional survey courses do?
I don't think so, Joan. I think that it does more than the traditional education does, and it manages to do more by going about it quite differently. Students have, for a number of decades now in American education, typically been asked to pick certain courses from the three major groups in the liberal arts, the sciences, the social sciences, and the humanities. The idea being that since there's so much information now, no students can possibly absorb it, let alone in their first 2 years, so they can pick some from column A and some from column B, and more or less have an introduction to a sampling of disciplines within each of the three major categories. We decided to go at the problem entirely differently, to forget sampling, in fact, pretty much to forget the three major categories, and instead to look at the world we live in, to imagine the world our students will graduate into, and to ask ourselves what kind of skills they needed, or to use a word that our committee became very fond of, to discover what kinds of literacies people would need to cope successfully and live productively in that world.
Fred, why are we reevaluating the whole concept of general education right now?
Well, to a great extent, the traditional mode of general education has developed almost like Topsy, where it's something that, for instance, I in Decision Sciences will ask the math department to teach a math course for our students, or to teach a statistics course for our students. What we end up with then is almost a cafeteria-style approach to education, where students, as Jan just said, pick one from column A, two from column B. And then we expect young freshmen and sophomores to be able to integrate all of these various pieces of information, draw them all together when they're taught by very separate departments with separate approaches. What we tried to do is to draw them all together and integrate the various modes of thinking and try to show students that the approach to mathematics isn't all that much different than the approach to writing a novel or the approach to writing a computer program. So that one of the perspectives on this was to integrate these previously very separate elements of education. So there's no English course as such in the program. There is an emphasis on literacy, not just English literacy, which George Mason in particular has put a great emphasis on English literacy, but there's also analytic literacy, so that individuals graduating from college in the 80s should be able to analyze problems and approach problem solving. Analytic literacy, English literacy, and also computer literacy are three very fundamental foundation points, I guess, of this new curriculum.
Let me add one thing. There's another kind of literacy that doesn't have an easy title. We hope by introducing students to many modes of thought, as Fred said, that we will make them literate in some sort of general sense, able to understand the issues that confront them as citizens, as workers, and as human beings in the world they'll live in.
Bill, you've made presentations to a number of student groups. How are they reacting to this program?
Joan, that's the most exciting part of the whole project as far as I'm concerned. The students are very enthusiastic about the PAGE program as they begin to understand what it's all about. Those students that are here now in the university who overhear us talking about the program or find out a little bit about it are very unhappy that they can't take it. They feel almost inevitably, why wasn't this here when I started? The students in high schools that I've talked to and who have come in to counsel with us about the PAGE program often feel a little bit reluctant to try something new. They haven't had a lot of time to think about the PAGE program, but as they begin to realize what it would do for them and how they would be part of it, they become very enthusiastic. And so of the students I've talked to, at least 80% have been signing up to be part of PAGE. Those that don't are often in a field where there are some sorts of scheduling difficulties. It is available to students in all majors, but some majors are a little bit easier to fit with the PAGE program than others.
There's been a number of attempts in other places in the country to kind of revamp general education, and frequently it's been by just changing the name of the course rather than the concept. And although we've talked a lot about the PAGE concept, we haven't really identified how the program works. Jan, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Let me answer the implied question you asked earlier about what's happening at other schools and why I think this is somewhat different. I think there were two things that helped us put into play ideas that were more far-reaching than those that have affected curricular revision at other schools. One of them is that our committee, our proposal committee, was very small. And that meant that we could work with the kind of speed that simply isn't available to fully representative committees representing, say, each department. The other kind of important thing for us was that George Mason is not old enough to have an entrenched faculty dedicated to its department here and its department there. The story of Harvard, for example, and the long, long debate that finally resulted in a yet more cafeteria-style approach to the curriculum was something we were able to avoid simply out of the luck of being really new, so that unlike other schools where there has been a lot of renaming or even reshuffling the elements among the major divisions of the liberal arts, we were able to do some very far-reaching kind of changes. One way you can look at the program is horizontally over 2 years, and in that view the whole program is divided into what we call strands, two strands named not very imaginatively A and B. They have more elaborate names as well. A is called Code, Symbols, and Information, and in that strand are courses in the arts, courses in the computer, courses in mathematics and in sciences, so that we've gotten a grouping of courses that's completely different from the typical groupings. Both the A strand and the B strand, as you look horizontally across the curriculum, are focused through weekly lectures that will be given by numerous members of the PAGE faculty and by some outside speakers. But there's also a vertical organization, too. Why don't you talk about the vertical organization?
Well, I was going to refer back to how it developed. That might be another. We, this past summer, brought 20 faculty from almost every discipline, every department within the university together for a period of 4 weeks in the summer to put together the PAGE program once we had gotten the funding from the state. And the approach that we took was a completely unconstrained approach. What should students be learning in their first 2 years? If we have freshmen and sophomores, what should they get out of it?
Okay, let me ask you a question right here. What should they be learning in relationship to what? Where they're going, or in terms of a classical education, or in terms of a job market?
Well, it might be appropriate to just back up then and say what general education is. I mean, general education are those first two wonderful years of college that we all took, where we learned English and mathematics and science and all those things that didn't matter much, because what we really wanted to do was hurry up and get into our major, whether it was English or computers or whatever. that's general education. That's something that everyone goes through to get to their career goals or real educational goals. So we're talking about that component of education, which is the foundation, the first 2 years. What should they learn in order to be participating members of society in this generation, not in the generation 20, 30 years ago, or the way education has always been? But so that's there isn't a really a technological base to this, but there's a little bit more technology than normal. There isn't a heavily analytic base to this, but there's much more analytic material in the sense of mathematics and science than in the normal general education. Some of the people in humanities felt that there was even a diminution of the humanities element, and there may be some truth to that. But what we did was to say, what should people be learning? And we had one of my favorite examples was that at one point someone said, we really should have some economics. Economics is not a normal part of general education. And yet economics plays such an important role in our society that people, whether or not they learn what a rate of return is as an undergraduate, are going to learn it within a couple of years after being out of school. So they should learn it. And the individual that said this, I'm sure, felt that was a radical statement. And then an anthropologist said, I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what students should be having. And this is the way the curriculum was forged, by saying, what should students be learning? Not the standard 3 hours of philosophy and 3 hours of English. And that's the way the curriculum developed, so that the courses are really groupings of what we thought students now should be learning as undergraduates before they get into their
major. Let me add one thing. When Fred talks about the fact that the humanities may be reduced slightly, I think that may be true if you count hours. But I think what's happened is that materials in philosophy, in English, in history, which is sometimes considered a subject in the humanities, have been woven in and out of the curriculum in terms of students looking at particular kinds of problems, looking at particular kinds of ways of organizing knowledge or disseminating knowledge. So while the hours are fewer, it is my very strong belief that the impact on the students of a philosopher they may read, or a poet they may study, or a novel they may read, will be much greater, because they will no longer simply read them in isolation for an English course or a philosophy course.
Mm-hmm. Jan makes a point that the students are beginning to understand also, that this integration, this weaving of the humanities into the technical areas and vice versa, that's part of the total integration of Page, will help them understand what their major is all about and how their major relates to other fields that they may also have an interest in. A lot of our students come to George Mason their freshman year without clearly decided majors to start in on. There's some pressure to choose a major, but a number of students don't, and the Page program provides a very nice vehicle for students in that situation to explore a number of fields in their first semester or two semesters. It allows them to see what the other fields are like and see how they relate to the fields that they think they might be studying. The student in the fall, just as an example, will take 12 hours of the normal 15-hour load in the Page program. They have another course, an elective course of 3 hours to choose in addition. Students are being encouraged to choose that course to correspond to their interest or their possible major. So students begin doing two things in the first semester. They begin to satisfy their general education requirements, the required courses they must all take, as Fred mentions. And also they begin to get a good idea as to whether the major they're thinking about is the right one for them.
And this is, at Mason, an alternative program?
Yes.
The traditional general education program is also available for students.
Yes, the two programs will run simultaneously for the next number of years. We plan to have about 300 freshmen a year enter the Page program. So it's a rather small set of the large number of freshmen.
Okay, I'd like to thank you all for being with us today. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For more information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. This is Joan Ziemba for George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.